Welcome to Kidney Commute, brought to you by the National Kidney Foundation, driven by the interprofessional team with emphasis on the patient voice.
In each episode, we will incorporate the perspectives of the different members of the kidney team as well as the patient.
Join our huddle on all things kidney health and allow new perspectives to inspire collaboration in your practice.
Eligible listeners can earn credit along the way.
The Kidney Commute, a continuing education podcast planned by the team
for the team.
Okay, welcome to the Kidney Commute, y'all, an interprofessional NKF podcast. My name is Mary Sori. I'm a nurse practitioner, and I work in nephrology, and I'm one of the co-hosts of today's podcast, and I do not have any relevant disclosures. With that, I would like to pass the mic over to my co-host to let her introduce herself, and then we'll get on to introductions to the rest of the panelists today.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mary. My name is Becky Ness. I am a physician assistant, work in nephrology, and I am very excited to be the co-host of today's discussion regarding the role of the advanced practice provider, or the APP, within the nephrology team. I, too, have no relevant disclosures, and I would like to start off with having our panel introduce themselves. We'll start with you, Dr. Houston.
Hi, my name is Hunter Houston. I am a clinical nephrologist at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. I've been in this role for about 5 years, and I have no relevant disclosures.
Hi, my name is Young Lin. I'm the transplant nurse practitioner at University of New Mexico Hospital in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I have no relevant disclosures.
My name is Jane, and I am a CKD patient. I was diagnosed originally back in 2009. However, in 2018, I got down to stage 4, and I have been fighting that ever since, even though I was told I'd be on dialysis in 6 months, and I'm still not on dialysis.
Hi, I'm Kenna. I'm on RN in outpatient dialysis. I've been a dialysis nurse for about 15 years, and I have no relevant disclosures.
Awesome. Thank you for the introduction, folks. With that, we'll go ahead and get started with our discussion today. And today's really about talking about the role of the APP on the kidney team. And we're here to talk about the ways you've seen practice utilized and really what your overall perspective has been and what the benefits has been and really how they can complement each other. So with that, I actually think we will just start with the physician and the APP panelists first. So Dr. Houston and Nan, and we'll let Dr. Houston go first on this question. Is this, when did you first see APPs utilized in your practice? And I should say, I know we've all been in practice a while. When I say practice, I mean like current nephrology role. When did you first see APPs and why were they added? Like, what was the objective when your practice added them?
Mary, as you well know, my experience with nurse practitioners and APPs really started at Vanderbilt when kind of at the same time that you started and when you joined really to help support the ESRD inpatient service. And in my experience with your fellowship and now in both private practice and academics, I've had a lot of experience working with NPs and PAs, both in the inpatient and outpatient settings, certainly in the outpatient dialysis world. And I've had probably the most experience working alongside APPs in the outpatient dialysis sector, where I think there's been a huge need, especially with some of the changes that came along the way in how requirements were handed down for visits and with some of the orders and documentation, such that APPs in general became really extensions of the physicians so that, you know, we can really service and provide care to a huge number of people over a really broad area. And it's been, in my experience, just only beneficial. It's really given physicians a lot of freedom to be able to treat a lot of people over a big area, certainly in that setting. And then, as there's been a growing need on the inpatient and general CKD and certainly transplant side of things, we're finding that same benefit where there's consistent care, there's high quality care, and there's, I think, ready care availability, if that makes sense, for patients who really need it. And certainly in chronic kidney disease, which is, you know, has a lot of moving parts, it's really helpful, certainly for us, to have another set of eyes and another set of hands to help manage some of these things that, that come up from time to time.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks. Well, I'd like to ask you the same question. I guess this is your first role as an MP, but was this a new position that you took? Was this the first APP in the division, or was it an existing role? But what's your knowledge of when the practice first added the APP, and what was their objective? Like, why did they add it?
So for my position, after I graduated, actually the position that I took was actually the expanding role. The nurse practitioner were added, from what I know, is around 2015, 2016 for CKD clinic. And then there was kind of like the increasing patient volume. So I was recruited to be the second CKD nurse practitioner. But then about 3 to 6 months into my role, there is the opportunity for me to expanding my scope of practice to go over to transplant. So I actually were doing a dual role for almost a year, and then transplant were just getting bigger. So then I become full-time transplant nurse practitioner. And like Dr. Houston said, like the continuum of care is important for any patient in general, but especially in, you know, CKD to transplant, you kind of have to know the patient and kind of understand where they come from in order to tailor the care, and also kind of work on the care plan for the trajectory of their illness, for their condition, so that everybody on the same page. And since I did the CKD first, so I kind of know how to transition patient to dialysis. And now with transplant, not only I evaluate patient to get on the transplant list and taking care of them after the transplant, but also kind of transition them back when the allograft, you know, start failing. So it's kind of like a full circle.
That's really cool. And that's some neat experiences, both for you and your practices. Becky,
yeah.
I think I'll let you get this next question. But yeah, I have lots of questions. Yeah. We should take turns.
No, absolutely. Thank you very much. I think you guys, both Nan and Dr. Houston, have really outlined, you know, how APPs are being utilized in nephrology, certainly touching base that it's not just dialysis clinics or CKD clinics anymore. Dr. Houston, could you kind of give us an idea of any differences you've seen, or have you not seen any differences in how APPs are utilized between private practice versus the academic center? And then we'll let Nan kind of share her experience in that regard as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think one big difference between academics and private practice really is the dialysis cohort. In the private practice setting, there tends to be a much bigger dialysis cohort of patients and spread over a much bigger area. And I think that comes as an extension of how private practices have been able to grow through the various dialysis ventures and having that investment. With that came a growing need to be able to support those clinics and support those patients with a person that can be there, you know, in the clinic itself. And so it made perfect sense to have somebody available to be able to go to those places as a face of the program, as a face of the group, and reach out to those dialysis clinics and be able to see those dialysis patients. In the academic setting, because there is such a smaller, and I think this is probably consistent everywhere, at least it has been in my experience, the dialysis cohort is much smaller, and they cover a much smaller geographical area, which means that there's less of a need in terms of number of patients to be seen, number of clinics to have access to in the community, and allows more involvement of APPs in the inpatient and non-dialysis CKDs and transplant settings, which I think really is beyond, you know, the dialysis clinic. Because there was, I think, a lot more familiarity with the APP presence in the dialysis clinic. But certainly a growing need. And I think kind of what's less known is the contraction of the nephrology workforce from a physician level, with fewer and fewer graduates going into nephrology. There's a shortage of nephrologists and a growing shortage. And I think having a growing APP workforce is going to allow the world of nephrology to continue to take care of a large number of patients that's growing. I mean, that number is getting bigger and bigger, and certainly on both the incident CKD and also the transplant population. So having that workforce and really seeing it grow and expand in terms of its dynamic role is certainly exciting to see. And I think, you know, that's probably the biggest difference between, at least in my experience, between the academic world and the private practice world, is just that, you know, a growing force in the non-dialysis sector and the academic world. That's I think really been a huge benefit.
Thank you for that wonderful comparison and kind of the contrast between the two environments. Nan, what has your experience been?
Actually, my experience is very similar to Dr. Houston. So like private practice, majority of APP is going to be kind of like utilized in dialysis clinic, but there is some rare instance where, and depend on, you know, the location, and that they will be able to expand their scope to cross between inpatient and outpatient. And whereas for the academic, I mean, I'm in the academic center currently, so we have the designated role for the inpatient consult service, inpatient transplant, and then outpatient general nephrology or CKD, and then the outpatient transplant, and then also have other APP that just solely see dialysis clinic.
Wonderful. Thank you both for that wonderful insight.
Thanks. Well, on that note about how y'all have seen them utilized differently in private practice versus academic practice, one question I have is how, what have you seen, and how was it structured when an APP was brought into the practice, like for onboarding? You know, the reason I ask is piggybacking off of the fact that there's an increasing need, increasing patient population, and a decreasing number of physicians going into nephrology. You know, there's also this stereotype that nephrology is hard. And I would say it is hard to learn. It's a difficult subject, both for physicians, for APPs, and patients. So when you're talking about bringing somebody into the practice, how do you approach that so that A, not only they're successful and happy, but they're competent and competent? And this applies to new physicians too, not just APPs. Like, what was helpful to you, Nan, when you were first hired in this role? Like, what structure was there? And likewise, Hunter, what have you seen done when they're bringing APPs on into various practices for that structure to make sure everybody is ready for success?
So in my experience, I mean, I've been, I guess, a little bit less privy to the onboarding experience, certainly up until very recently, where I've become sort of part of that group that facilitates that onboarding. But I think the best comparison really is the APPs are onboarded and sort of trained very much in line with how we bring the fellows up to speed clinically. In private practice, there's a little bit of a different solution to it there, where it's a lot more on the job training, at least so it seems. And I think some of those folks come into the practice with some experience in the CKD or dialysis realm already. So there's a little bit, you know, less steep of a learning curve, I should say. But in the academic world, I think the APPs have to have a desire to do nephrology, and that, you know, that's probably a whole different podcast. Assuming they have CKD interest, you know, there's such a very landscape for it, whether it's transplant, whether it's dialysis or everything in between, gauging some of that interest and then driving that interest to the right location so that those folks are getting the experience that they want, and then training accordingly. So for me, when I've had APPs training with me, it's been, you know, I treat them very much the same as I would a fellow that's coming on, where, hey, watch how I do my workflow. Here's sort of how I think through patients that have CKD for various reasons. Here are the things that I'm looking for. Here are the things that I'm worried about. Here are the discussions that I have with patients and with families and with other practitioners, and begin to give the APPs a tool set to create their own style. And then, you know, from there, it's really, all right, let's put some air under your wings and see how you fly, and allow them to really ply that trade as they're able. And, you know, fortunately, it's a shared relationship. So the APPs, in my experience, are never on their own entirely. There's always, you know, physician support and physician, I hate to say backup, but if there are
questions, always somebody you can call or shoot questions.
Yeah, I mean, if there are questions or concerns, there's always going to be somebody there to help navigate those questions or concerns. And in my experience as well, there's always been sort of an assigned or a programmed kind of coordination of care so that the APP and the physician are always kind of linked. And so that conversation and those comfort levels are pretty well established. So it's not just, you know, all right, whoever's there, that's who we're going to talk to. But it's really a working relationship between physician and APP on a consistent basis.
Sounds like a lot of communication goes on both ways, I think, is a theme that I hear. You know, even if you might
be
independently, being able to communicate and troubleshoot. And
very much so. And that's been my experience in the dialysis sector as well, where, you know, I was assigned to a dialysis shift at a dialysis unit, and the same APP was assigned to the same, you know, dialysis unit and dialysis shift. And so it was always consistent, and the communication was consistent. The patient care was consistent. Everything was consistent. And it made it really easy to get a feel on my end for what were the limitations, what were the concerns, what, you know, sort of what was predictable.
Manon?
So as Dr. Hudson say, is an APP have a desire to, you know about nephrology is a positive. And from my personal experience, I do see that a lot of APP that doing nephrology, most of the time is they were like dialysis nurse or like work in a nephrology clinic before. For me, I didn't have that, but I actually was fortunate enough to got trained in the nephrology, and I was married preceptee. And actually, I remember Dr. Hudson was a fellow when I was doing the training. And when I first brought to my practice, I was very fortunate to have the medical director for the CKD clinic at that time has the very specific outline on the onboarding program for me. So she had me follow inpatient nephrology along with the existed CKD nurse practitioner, and also had me follow with urologists and as well as vascular, because, you know, nephrology and urology, there is a lot of overlap. And for the CKD, a lot of time we have to think about dialysis access. So knowing what the vascular team looking for is important so that we can plan for patient accordingly. And then when I got transitioned to the transplant, again, my medical director is very supportive and provided me with onboarding that very supportive. And I mean, to this day, if there is any question or any concern, I can always communicate and kind of exchange my thought with my medical director or even any attending on the service to ensure that patient get the highest quality of care and the surface care that we can provide to our patients.
Well, thank you both for that. You really touched on a lot of things. How do we onboard? How can we improve access to care? Kind of what the dynamic between the APP and the nephrologist is, particularly given the increasing nephrology patient with the decreasing interest and entrance from our physician colleagues into the nephrology world. I'm going to take this as a pivot point, and I'm going to bring Jane, our patient, into the conversation because I think she can give us a very unique perspective into what we've talked about with our physician and nurse practitioner colleagues. Jane, given your tenure as a not yet dialysis patient, but a chronic kidney disease patient, how have you seen the role of the APP transpire? When did you first see them, and like in what setting? Was it in a clinic setting, a hospital setting, and how have you seen that difference?
So my involvement with working with APPs and with my chronic kidney disease, probably in the last year, has been a lot more evident because of the process that I'm going through. For example, I had a fistula put in June, and the intake nurse was an NP, and it was a long involved process, and she was wonderful, very patient. It was an hour and a half process just to get through the intake for the surgery. Our transplant, I am on the transplant list here. I actually went through it back in 2021 and failed, did some work, and now just went through it again this summer. And the transplant coordinator is an NP. And she had the grace and the patience to put up with me, I'll put it that way, through the whole process, because it was very nerve-wracking, because it's take a test and wait and take a test and wait. And so she was very helpful in keeping me calm through the process. My nephrologist happens to be the head of the medical director for the nephrology department. So quite often she does have APPs coming in for training. So I guess I would say I've seen a much more prevalent use of them in her practice. The other thing is I was the past director of the University of Rochester's Medical Center Home Care Division. And when I began, we had nobody, no APPs at all, no nurse practitioners, nothing. And by the time I retired, we actually had four NPs that had been trained and brought in. They were actually nurses that went back to school and came back as NPs, and they headed up divisions. So that was a big change for that unit of the medical center.
Jane, I'd love to hear, do you feel like the care was pretty consistent between nephrologist and APP? I mean, do you feel like they, could you get a sense that the APPs and the nephrologists were all communicating and that things were kind of lockstep? Or did you feel like there was a lot of disconnection there? Obviously from my perspective, we want to make sure that there's good consistent care, but you seldom get to hear whether that's actually the case.
To be honest with you, being involved with the medical center and it's a teaching hospital, it was very evident to me that there was great communication between the provider and the APPs and the patient. Even when there was teaching going on, it was explained in, I'll use clinical ease, and then again explained for the patient. So the involvement was not just the two of them. There was a triangle kind of situation where we were learning. There was no, exclusion. And I thought that was really wonderful. Being an educator who worked with nurses for so long, maybe that was why I felt it was really, really great.
Did you feel like that education trickled down through exposure with fellows and residents and so on and so forth as well?
I'm going to say yes. Not that I have a lot of firsthand experience with that, but I know that the U of R was very strong on teaching. And so I'm pretty sure that probably is the same.
Jane, I've got one question for you. As you were being introduced to the APPs, the physicians, whether it was in a training scenario like you described, or just being introduced to additional members of the team, How did those introductions take place?
Usually when a provider brought in an APP, it was introduced as this is so-and-so and he is a specific position. They were coming in as either a PA or a nurse practitioner or whatever. And they are doing their rotation in whatever, you know, nephrology for me. And again, that was pretty much the explanation and I didn't have any problem with it. You have to understand too, that I had been working with a lot of my doctors for quite a long time and they know my background. So I don't know if, you know, they always ask that. And I always thought this was great. They always ask, are you comfortable with that? And of course I am, but I think it's important that that transaction between the provider and an APP and a patient is done more often for the comfort, not only of the APP who's being trained, but for the patients to get used to the excellent service that I feel an APP offers.
The patient comes first, but it's a multifaceted relationship. And I really appreciate hearing that perspective. Is there anything else you'd like to add or any observations you've had as a patient just getting to know, not just the doctor, but both PAs and NPs?
I will say that working with PAs and NPs that I find a comfort working with them, they're, you know, have a little bit more time. You don't feel as pressured as a patient getting through your, you know, allotted short amount of time that you get to see in front of a provider. There's also some sort of comfort to maybe have some more questions. You don't feel like you're going to be taking a lot of the provider's time. I don't know. I personally feel that they're a little bit more relaxed and more into spending a little bit more in-depth time with the patient. That's my personal feeling with them. I have absolutely no problems with working with an APP. I actually enjoy it.
Well, thank you for that. I think that touches on a theme that, you know, it's meant to be a complementary practice. And, you know, every person, whether it's a different role or not, or a different degree, everybody brings something of worth to the table. But I do hear that consistently. And that's also been my observation that it's been very good experiences. And while slightly, maybe sometimes difference in style or approach, ultimately, I've consistently heard good things. I've never heard a practice or a patient that they regret at the team expanding and welcoming both APPs and physicians into the practice. So that seems to be the theme I've heard over the years. So thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Thank you very much for sharing your perspective as a patient, as well as with your educational background. I think that really kind of brings a lot more, a different, but yet incredibly beneficial perspective. So thank you so much, Jane. Yeah, Nan, I know that you had worked as a nurse as well. And Kenna, I know you quite well as a nurse. So I am very excited to kind of get your perspective. As a nurse, how do you recall or what do you recall about how APPs were first introduced into the dialysis realm? And what were your thoughts? How did that go for you?
Well, when I came to dialysis from the resource team, APPs were already in place, sort of. We're in a hospital that kind of had two different clinics, two different sets of providers and whatnot. And the one clinic did have an APP rounding with him. It was really nice. She was kind of his right-hand man. You know, she was always there from the clinic, come on down, round on the patients, answer the nurses' questions. I know she saw patients in the clinic as well. And then, well, Becky, like 10 years ago, you jumped down with us and it's been wonderful ever since. You saw patients down there in the clinic or in the outpatient setting and then in the clinic as well, I believe. And it was just a real nice breath of fresh air when you came and, I don't know, it made it easier for everyone, I believe. You know, it was easier for you to talk to the patients. You had more time. It was just really nice.
And Nan, did you work as a nurse in the dialysis unit before you went back to get your NP?
No, actually, I was a critical care nurse.
So. A critical care. Okay.
Yeah, but I know that I mean, when I was with Mary, like Mary was a patient, and I mean, the sad part of ESRD patients is they are very high risk for, you know, comorbidity and readmission. So a lot of the time is Mary will happen to know other ESRD patients that on the service from not only this admission, but like from other admission that she encountered with. So that knowledge is important for the team so that they can making sure that we get, you know, taking care of them accordingly, especially with dialysis.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, dialysis has changed so much. We've got more patients. There's more complexity. And with that, Kenna, have you seen changes in how APPs are utilized, particularly within the dialysis unit, both your outpatient and your inpatient perspective? You know, was there changes in continuity of care or maybe the access of being able to start a patient or add a patient?
Absolutely. You know, our APP has kind of been through all of the changes with our nephrologist, and she's kind of been a rock through all of that. She's gone from seeing patients in just the clinic and then in the dialysis unit, and then being able to round on patients in the hospital, you know, as far as our acute patients go. And then they've utilized them even further into like our outreach clinics to, like Dr. Houston said, see more patients, see a larger amount of patients, and kind of expand the reach that we have, and then definitely improve continuity of care. You know, seeing those patients in the outreach, knowing them when they do hit that dialysis stage, you know, you've got that background to be able to tell us as nurses and as a dialysis unit, you know, this is what's been going on, this is their access, this is a little bit about their history, you know, and those patients come to us comfortable because they know that they're still in capable hands, but the exchange has kind of gone both ways. You know, they know about us, we know about them. And when they come to us as a dialysis patient, it's just a better experience for everyone, I think. And then access, you asked about that. And yes, because now that there are more APPs with our nephrologists, you're able to expand that scope. You know, I don't know how many miles apart all of our clinics are now, but our APPs can travel back and forth between all of those patients and sites and, you know, really take care of a larger area of patients than we would have reached before. Our patients would have had to have driven 35, 40, 50, 60 miles to see someone in the clinic, whereas now they can potentially stay in their hometown or just drive a few miles to see a provider. And this way they're not falling between the cracks, you know, when it comes to keeping up with those appointments or, you know, watching their labs. Are you close to needing dialysis? You guys have a great, great handle on that. And because there's more providers, they don't fall through the cracks and get forgotten or missed and
crash and burn into dialysis.
Thank
you for that answer. I think that's all very true. I agree with what you're saying. I think that's one of the, again, the theme that I continue to see in my own practice and in this specific conversation is that the collaboration is a synergistic one, and that it only helps us, you know, that it's a practice added. And, you know, each practice is different. So each way that they're going to see benefits is also going to be different. But, you know, people, when I first got hired, used to be like, well, how do I know which call goes to the nurse practitioner or which one goes to the doctor? You know, you get that figured out. And what I've seen time and time again is people end up raving on and on about the multiple ways it helps both the patient, both the physician, and, you know, the colleagues within the clinic and without. And it sounds like that's been what you've observed, especially with all this growth. And it's true. I mean, the world is growing, cities are growing, patient population is growing. We just have a lot of needs. So it's important to grow the team and to grow it well.
No, I think we touched on like majority of, I mean, basically from as an APP, we are here to support the community of nephrology patients and having like therapeutic, healthy relationship with the nephrologist and other team member of the nephrology team is important so that we can provide the best care for the patient and, you know, also help improve their quality of life. And for a patient like Jane, I mean, that's very good that she was told that she's going to have dialysis within 6 months. And now she 5 years and going strong and already actively working, getting on the transplant list, which is it takes a village in order to have that kind of outcome for patients.
Nand, that is an excellent summation of the nephrology care team. It truly is a village between the physicians and the APPs and the nurses and the social work support and the dietitian support. It really is a team to meet the needs of our patients where they are, instead of always having to make the patient come to us. Mary, any additional insight?
No, that would be a great episode name if we hadn't already named it the role of the APP on the nephrology team.
Right.
The village. Because it does. It just does.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Thank you all. Thank you to our panel members for their contributions to this incredibly important discussion. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you for joining us on this ride of the Kidney Commute. Remember, eligible audiences can earn CME credit for listening to this episode by clicking on the link in the episode description. If you have any comments or suggestion for future episodes, please email the team at nkfpodcast@kidney.org. Stay tuned for future huddles, and in the meantime, continue to let new perspectives inspire your practice. Thanks for joining us.